Turning your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3, for the next few moments before we go to prayer in our Wednesday night prayer service, we've entitled our message from Psalm chapter 3, Truths for Troubling Times. Could it be that someone has crept in here this evening, perhaps thinking that we are not facing troubling times? Internationally, our world facing troubling times. Nationally, with the peace talks having miserably fallen to the ground, Colin Powell now returning to the United States, the talk now is that the United States might perhaps suffer for the result of a failure on the part of the peace talks. Troubling times. Then I ask you, perhaps you might look at your home. Are you facing some troubling times in your home? Are you facing troubling times at work? Well, if you fall in any one of these categories, and I think all of us do, this psalm is for you. The historical background of this passage, you'll read the inscription on the bottom of the chapter 3 notation here, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Reading verses 1 through 8, let's do so together, shall we, in unison. Verses 1 through 8 of Psalm chapter 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. The background to this particular passage is familiar to most of us. It takes us back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you'll quickly turn there and not lose your place in Psalm chapter 3, you'll notice that 2 Samuel chapter 11 describes to us the giant that David did not kill. David was a hero. David was a warrior. David was victorious, but there was a giant that David did not kill in his life. That giant brought a great deal of sorrow and heartache, the consequences of which continued throughout his life. And we're even studying about it in Psalm chapter 3. We can see the compromise of his convictions when he sinned with Bathsheba. We see the condemnation of his sin in chapter 11 and verse 27, where the word of God said the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. The consequences, the condemnation of his sin. In chapter 12 and verse 7 are recorded the famous words from Nathan the prophet, "Thou art the man." David had been guilty of murder, conspiracy, a capital offense. We can see in chapter 12 and verse 10, not only the compromise of his convictions and the condemnation of his sin, but we can see the calamity of his sin, because the consequences are spelled out in chapter 12 and verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. That was accomplished on the rooftop in the vision and in the sight of the entire nation of Israel, as Absalom went into David's concubines, a mark of overthrow and the overtaking of his father's empire. Notice verse 14. Howbeit, by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Sad consequences of sin, giving the enemies of the Lord occasion to blaspheme. Do the enemies of the Lord enjoy that? Oh, yes. They pick it up like a pork chop rib and run with it like a dog. And the press is the first one to glorify in that. And it said, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. The calamity of his sin. Then I want you to notice the confession of his sin in verse 13 of chapter 12. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. The confession of his sin. You know, even though God forgave David for his wrongdoing, and we have the psalm that we'll be looking at in the future, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, the consequences and the dire results of the consequences lived on. I want to take you to the book of Psalm, chapter 99. There's a little verse that's tucked away that perhaps oftentimes we have a tendency to read over. In Psalm 99, I want you to notice verse 8. The Lord forgives, but oftentimes consequences continue. Look at Psalm 99 and verse 8. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. The word inventions, the Hebrew word alilah there, has the idea of actions or misdeeds. Lord, you forgave them. However, Lord, you sent consequences upon their misdeeds. Well, as we look at Psalm chapter 3, which we're turning to now, going back, I'll have to confess to you that I struggled as I prepared this message. Because it's easy for us to say, David, you had it coming. Look what you did. You were the head of state. People were counting on you. You caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You've disgraced the name of Jehovah among the people. You've failed in taking a stand as you ought to. And it would be so easy, would it not, for us to enumerate and even to insist upon the death penalty. And yet, I look at this passage and I say, Lord, when I preach Psalm 3 and I see the background of it, but then I read Psalm 3 and I see the tremendous hope and mercy of God in the midst of it. And what I come up with is this. Yes, David did a horrible, horrible deed. And yes, there were consequences to it. And if we look upon our lives, as we indeed should, if the Lord were to number our iniquities, which of us could stand? And I ask myself, yes, David did all of these things. And I remind myself, yes, David did all of these things, but he confessed them and cast himself upon the mercies of God. And this psalm tells me that my God is a merciful God. My God is a God that doesn't give up on me, even though I have committed horrible, atrocious things that oftentimes have disgraced the name of the Lord in word and in deed. And keep in mind that all sin is exactly that in God's eyes. And we're going to be looking this evening at three dynamic truths for troubling times. Some of you may be facing, indirectly or directly, the consequences of troubles that you're going through right now. And only you and God know what those things are. And they can go on, can't they? They can go on. And yet this psalm is for you, and there's comfort for you. Even though you've made horrible mistakes, mistakes that you should have known better to do, mistakes that you're still living with, even as David was living with them because of his mistakes and the consequences of his sin. These dynamic truths are for you, and they are for me. Number one, dynamic truth number one, for all of us who are so great a sinner and fall so miserably short of what we should have been, and we look back, and frankly, sometimes, to be honest with you, and I believe that you'll be honest with yourself, sometimes the ones that are most unwilling to forgive are we ourselves. We know God has forgiven us. Perhaps spouses or loved ones or children have forgiven us. But maybe you're having trouble right now here forgiving yourself. And your standards are apparently higher than God's when He has forgiven you. But let's look at verses 1 through 3. Here is truth number one. God is aware of my troubles. I want you to say that with me tonight. God is aware of my troubles. The first thing that we need to remember is that God is aware. Nothing escapes His sight. That is found in verses 1 through 3 of our psalm. God is aware. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? It's getting worse and worse rather than better and better. It's getting worse and worse with the passage of time. The sin has been confessed, but the consequences are increasing. How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Like Job said, as the sparks fly upward, it seems that man's born to adversity, and it just seems to be overwhelming me. Those that rise up against me. Goes on to say, he uses the word many again in verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. God has forsaken you. You know, that's one of the greatest tricks of the devil. He always will come to you and say, God has abandoned you. He's through with you. You're on the shelf, buddy. You're done. There's no hope. He doesn't want to have anything to do with you. There's no help for you in God. You're finished. And now you have the word Selah there with an intended choral pause to cause individuals to think. Think about that now. They're telling me that there's no help for me in God. The devil will tell you that. Your enemies will tell you that. Those that breathe out vengeance, those that were seeking to overthrow David, They thought that they had their plot well in hand, and there's no help for him in God. But notice, David appeals to this one thing to hang on to. When there was nothing else to hang on to, David says, God is aware. God is aware. When no one else, it seems, understands, when you think that you are losing your mind because everyone is saying that the sky is purple, and you know it's not, but everybody is saying it is, and it seems like everything is turned upside down, and you're doubting your sanity, God is aware, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. A shield. A protector. My glory. Michael, come over here and help me with an illustration. Will you do so, son? Now, Michael, if you're real sad, what do you do with your head? This is not pre-rehearsed, I assure you. You kind of look down, don't you? Why don't you do that, okay? Just look down. Now, you know what the Lord does? Now, many of you are this way, you know. The Lord does this. He lifts up your head. He looks into your eyes. He says, don't worry. I understand. I'm there. I'll take care of you. I'm your heavenly Father. He lifts up our head, and He cares for us when our heads are down. Thank you. He's the lifter up of our head. Are you in that position today? By the way, God uses people to do that. Will you be the lifter up of somebody's head today? Just a kind word. Be an extension of God's hands. See, God is a spirit that He works through people, through circumstances, events. And I bet you there's someone that you're thinking of right now that could use a word of comfort in due season. And there were those that were with David to encourage him. Lord, you're the lifter up of my head. That's the first truth I want to impress upon your mind today. God is aware. And you don't have to take matters into your own hands when truth seems to be losing out. God is aware. And He is able to handle the things that are discouraging you. And you know, I imagine that David was going through a horrible guilt trip. Can you imagine the battle that he was going through? Oh, I deserve... I mean, you know, Shimei, you remember Shimei? Boy, he just rained on David's parade. And he said, you know, God's going to return unto you all of the misdeeds that you've done. And David remembered that. And it was so easy for him to say, God has forsaken me. And yet he says, Lord, you're the lifter up of my head. Now, here's the second dynamic truth that I'd like for you to remember. Number one was God is aware. Secondly, God is available. God is available. Verses 4 through 6. He's available. During my troubles, He's available. He's not only aware. See, a lot of people say God's aware, but He's not doing anything. No, God is available. He is available. And it says here, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Have you done that this week? And He heard me out of His holy hill. Selah. Think about that. In other words, think about what man is saying in verses 1 and 2. But now think about what God is saying in verses 4 through 6. Notice, when you're in the midst of the trial, verse 5 can be yours. I've used verse 5 for a beloved saint that was going to surgery the next day. Visiting in a hospital room, I'm able to say, God's the lifter up of your head, and you can lay down and sleep and awake, and God is going to sustain you. And that's exactly what David was able to do. Now, in Psalm 121, beautiful psalm, you have to read this with me. don't lose your place in Psalm 3, but I love Psalm 121. It's a great psalm for insomniacs. I wonder if that word insomniacs, you think that we should respell that a different way and put insomniac, and whenever you can't sleep, read the Psalms and it'll put you right to sleep? I just thought of that. You may think I'm losing my mind. That's okay. God is aware and He's available to guide me. But notice Psalm 121. Look at verses 1 through 8. I just want to read this quickly. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from where comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, why was it that David was able to lay his head down in the midst of the attack of enemies and even a rebellious son seeking to overturn his kingdom, and he was able to lay me down, as he said, and sleep? You know what it was? Well, Lord, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. No use both of us staying awake. So, Lord, I'll let you keep watch, and I'll go to sleep. How many of you have ever told the Lord that? I do that, and it works. Try it. Whenever you're having something going through your mind, what you do is that you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do a thing about what I'm facing right now. And Lord, I'm going to claim the promise. I'm going to lay me down and sleep. And I know that your word tells me in Psalm 121 that he that keeps me will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel, look at verse 4, neither slumbers nor sleeps. So Lord, I'm going to lay this one on you. And I'm going to lay down and go to sleep. And I'm going to trust you to handle it. And you know, inevitably, my sleep will come. Melody will tell you that. Melody says that I must have a good conscience because I don't have any trouble sleeping. When the time comes, I mean business, you know. And I'm able to stay awake when the time comes, but when the time comes to sleep, I know when it's time to sleep as well. Now, let's read the rest of Psalm 121. It's precious. It says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. You know, all you have to do is put D in front of evil, and you got devil. And boy, he's behind it, isn't he? He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. That's a Hebraism. You remember Solomon used it when he said, I'm a little child, how can I be king? Give me wisdom, for I know not how to go out or to come in. Here we have David being helplessly saying, Lord, you preserve me, because I don't know how to go out or to come in. Lord, protect me from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, let's go back now to Psalm chapter 3. God is aware. Claim that. Verses 1 through 3. God is, secondly, available. He's the Lord of hosts. In verse 6 it says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Do you feel like you're encircled with enemies all around you? And they're seeking you, and they're wanting to do you in, and they've invented all kinds of concoctions against you that aren't even true. I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Now, 10,000 to 1, those are worse. That's a worse ratio than the Alamo, you know. But here, I'm not going to be afraid. That's a worse ratio than Elijah had when he was with Gehazi at the camp, when Gehazi was putting the coffee on, and he said, Alas, master, we perish, the Syrian army. Remember 2 Kings chapter 6? Well, here it's even worse odds. Now, last truth. The first one was, God is aware. Second one, God is available. The third one, the third truth, is found in verses 7 and 8. God is able. It's one thing to be aware. It's one thing to be available. But the Lord says, I'm going to take that awareness, and I'm going to take that availability, and I'm going to intervene in your life. I'm going to do something. something about it. Now, I can be aware of what's going on in Afghanistan. And I can be available to help. But you know, until I get those weapons and those aircraft carriers out, and until I get those big guns out there and the warships, now I'm able to do something about it. And that's the position that God is taking. God is able to deliver me from my troubles. Look at verse 7. Arise, O Lord! Did you know that that was a war cry? The children of Israel used that as a war cry. We don't have time to turn to it, but if you look at Numbers chapter 10 and verse 35, the children of Israel used that against the enemy as they journeyed from Sinai to Kadesh in Numbers 10:35. Arise, O Lord! And Lord, we're going in. If you were to give it a modern day meaning, it's let's roll, Lord. Let's roll. And that's what they used. And they believed that the Lord of hosts was with them. That same phrase is found in Psalm 68 and verse 1. Psalm 68 and verse 1. Arise, O Lord. In Psalm 68 and verse 1, it says, let God arise. There's somebody that needs some help. For him, that's God. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. You see, here, David is using a war cry to summon the powers of God. Why don't we do that today? Let's summon a war cry. Lord, all of these needs that we have here, Lord, arise. Some of you have some burdens that you're facing. You know, the Bible says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. You know, look back. Take a look back to the victories that God has given you. It will be an encouragement as you look forward. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And David could look back and he could see the hand of God. And then look at verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. You know, we are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. It says in Psalm 100, many of you young children have memorized Psalm 100 many times in school. We're the sheep of his pasture. God is aware, number one. God is available, number two. And God is able. Keep those three things in mind. God is able. Now, in closing, turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13, a well-known, often quoted passage where the phrase God is able is found. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So let's take our trials and testings and let's hold on to these truths for troubling times. Let's say them together. God is aware, God is available, and God is able. Heavenly Father, I pray for the message that has been briefly given this evening, that your Holy Spirit would use it to go out. Some will be listening to it, Father, by tape. Others, Lord, will be listening to it through their computer. Some, Lord, by radio. And Lord, many here that are listening to my voice tonight, all of us have one thing in common. Lord, we're a people that are surrounded by the troubles of this world. And Father, we look back at our lives and we can see that some of those are because of wrong decisions that we've made. And Father, if we have not confessed those misdeeds, we would be amiss, certainly, to not do that tonight. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, won't you give that word of confession to the Lord this evening? Won't you ask Him to intervene in your life? Even as David asked God's intervention. And won't you take this moment to claim those three promises? Lord, thank You that You're aware. Lord Jesus, thank You so much that You're available. And Lord, thank You that You're able. And You will deliver me from my trials. Help me to trust You to keep on doing right. Father, as we go to prayer now, we would pray that, Lord, You would bless these three truths. And may we be ever mindful that You're a merciful, gracious, loving, covenant-keeping God. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness even to the Davidic covenant, which was, Lord, I believe, part of the reason why You forgave David and allowed him to be king. And, Lord, someday You will reign and rule on the throne of David in Your mediatorial kingdom. And the prayers of the saints, Thy kingdom come, will be realized. Bless us now in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.